thank you so much for being here. If you are a visitor, if you came to watch your kid or your friend or your coworker in the Easter program, we're so glad that you're here. We hope that you feel at home. We hope you feel loved and embraced, and just know that you have a home here anytime. These holiday programs are always so wonderful because for a church this size, we have such an incredible amount of talent, of artistic talent, of all kinds of singers and musicians. And hey, so-and-so can sing, you know, this new person. I'm like, most of us are gay. Everyone can sing. It's that's the assumption. So if you can't sing, come tell me that. Hello? Just letting you know, I cannot sing. So this year was a little tiny bit different because I felt the Lord just urging me to reach out to the other artists, so not just the musicians and the singers, but we have people who do art professionally, who are art teachers, who paint and sculpt and do graphic design and photography and spoken word and creative writing. And so, man, that was overwhelming. So we're giving, this year I think is just a sample of I think where we can go in the future, but all the art you're going to see, all the images displayed, either were compiled by someone or were actually created by someone. Will you just put the little credits slide up there for me? All of these people have contributed to this service. This is just a huge number, and it barely even is a drop in the bucket of what I know is sitting out there. But if you were involved in this service, would you just stand up so people can see? Because a lot of, thank you. Because a lot of them, they're not performing. You're just going to see their art. The audio, video team, they're the ones who actually are working really hard. I hope you enjoy this. I hope that we paint a picture for you of that pales in comparison to the story we're really telling. And that's just the greatest story. That is the best thing ever. So enjoy and happy Easter.
It was the last Passover meal Jesus would share with his followers, friends, and family. As they sat together, Jesus raised his eyes in prayer.
The prayer of Jesus. Father, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place. I'm no longer going to be visible in the world, but they'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life, so they can be one heart and mind as we are one heart and mind. Now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I gave them a mission in the world. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are, and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you, and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them.
After supper, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane to pray. Judas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, had conspired with the high priests and Pharisees to betray Jesus. So he led the way to the place where Jesus was praying. Roman soldiers and police sent by the high priest followed. They arrived with lanterns and torches and swords. They took Jesus before Pilate, the governor. Finding no fault in Jesus, Pilate inquired of the crowds, what would they have him do with Jesus? Crucify him, they demanded. So the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the palace and called together the entire brigade. They stripped him, dressed him up in purple, and put a crown braided from a thorn bush on his head. They began their mockery. Bravo, King of Jews! They banged on his head with a club, spit on him, and knelt down in mock worship. After they had had their fun, they took off the purple cape and put his own clothes back on him. Then they marched out to nail him to the cross. The soldiers divided up his clothes and threw dice for them. The people stood there staring at Jesus, and the ringleaders made faces, taunting, "He saved others. Let's see him save himself. The Messiah of God. Ha! The Chosen. Ha!" The soldiers also came up and poked fun at him, making a game of it. They toasted him with sour wine and said, "So, you're the King of the Jews. Save yourself." Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." 2 criminals were taken along with Jesus for execution. When they got to the place called Skull Hill, they crucified all 3 of them. Jesus, with 1 criminal to his right, the other to his left. One of the criminals joined in the soldiers' mockery, saying, "Some Messiah you are. Save yourself. Save us." But the other one made him shut up. "Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Jesus said, "Don't worry, I will. Today, you will join me in paradise." At one point, Jesus' mother, his aunt, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her. He said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted Mary as his own mother, opening his heart, his arms, and his home to care for her. Jesus, seeing that everything had been completed, so that the scripture record might be complete, then he said, "I'm thirsty." A jug of sour wine was standing by. Someone put a sponge into it and soaked it with the wine on a javelin and lifted it to his mouth. After he took the wine, Jesus said, "It's done, complete." Bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. Late in the afternoon, since it was the day of preparation, that is, Sabbath Eve, Joseph, of Arimathea, a highly respected member of Jewish council, came. He was one who lived unexpectedly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Working up his courage, he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate questioned whether Jesus could really be dead that soon and called for the captain to verify that he really was dead. Assured by the captain, he gave Joseph the corpse. Having already purchased a linen shroud, Joseph took Jesus down, wrapped him in the shroud, placed him in a tomb that had been cut into the rock, and rolled a large stone across the opening. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, watched the burial.
Me. exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a
Roman workers with spears and whips that never questioned, and traitors' kisses, flat bread dipped in oil. Let us think about it. What it would be like to be involved in the greatest event in history and have no idea. Let us think about those who talk, give in to bodies, live in the wisp of the fall, lie to get by, to be called to be a part of the greatest mission in history and have no idea. Let's not waste precious blood and let the body of Christ rot within. Let us glorify that old rugged cross, bring life from death, bring honor from sacrifice. Follow the Lord and be involved in the greatest mission.
Hallelujah. Ooh, he's alive. Amen. Wow, that was pretty amazing. Throughout the entire program, I saw different facets of him, of us, of our mission. That was amazing. I was looking at the different generations that we have. Are you seeing the same things? And, I mean, I'm old. But the young generation speaks to me in a way that's just different. It's raw, and it's real, and it's not religious. It's just from their heart and their spirit. And man, this church has got a lot of young people. But then I hear the staples, the old rugged cross, and the blood, and that's what it's about. And then I hear the celebration, Corinth, of just the sound of his appearing in majesty and regalness. I heard it. And I heard Karen talk about the holiness and what Isaiah saw. And it's an amazing thing. And we celebrate Easter because he isn't dead. But then I think about those who don't know him. You see, if we know him, there is a promise that we will see those who have gone before us. that those who are dead, we will see. You'll see your mother. You'll see your mother. But what about those who don't know him? And that's our job, to tell them. You see, it's not about coming to church. It's about coming to Jesus. There may be somebody today that has never accepted Jesus as their Savior. It's easy. You see, we gave the message throughout the entire program today. It's about the blood. It's about what he did on the cross. In our place, he stood and took it all so that we could now walk in newness of life. His blood is what it's about. So if you've never accepted Jesus, it's all about saying, Jesus, I understand that I can't do this on my own, that I need that blood applied to my heart. So please come and save me and redeem me and make me yours. It's just asking him. And his promise is, when you invite him, he is there for you.
Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Lord. What a joy to celebrate Easter with you guys. He's risen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. We'll see you next week. Amen.